On the KSRO live line is journalist, historian, author, former editor of Politico magazine, Garrett Graff is here. Garrett's new book is called The Only Plane in the Sky, an oral history of 9/11. And Garrett, I assume you're talking about Air Force One.
So, yes, that is one of the main threads of the day, is that Air Force One and its journey back to Washington being the only plane in the sky after everything else was grounded. But the book sweeps across the entire country over the course of the day. It's the voices of 480 Americans as they experienced that day.
Wow.
Coast to coast, morning to night.
Well, that sounds like it just about covers it. And how did you find everyone's experience of 9/11 to be different depending on where they were?
Yeah, and this was sort of part of my goal with the book, was to really capture what 9/11 was like to live through. Because, you know, this year we mark the 18th anniversary and you're beginning to see 9/11 slip from memory to history. You know, you have the first college class this fall beginning born after 9/11. And one of the things that I think you lose as we look back is that we sort of increasingly only remember the facts of the day, the four planes, the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, Shanksville, and we forget just how confusing and traumatic and fearful that day was to live through. That, you know, we didn't really understand what was transpiring that day. And so when you go back and you listen to these voices and you capture the way that people lived that day, it's a very different perspective on 9/11.
And what did you discern from the investigations that you did? Let's start with Air Force One. What was it like on that plane?
Well, one of the most remarkable things about that is, you know, you have to think back again to what 2001 was like. This was a time when there was no email or cable or satellite TV aboard Air Force One. And so the president begins his day, Sarasota, Florida, Emma Booker Elementary School, is rushed aboard Air Force One in the first hour after the attack. Ends up flying around the southeastern United States, first to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, then eventually Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. And for much of the day, and this is just sort of stunning to think back as you realize this, the president was watching TV on Air Force One, relying on rabbit ears antennas. And so the coverage is sort of fading in and out as they are flying in between cities across the country. And for most of the day, the president of the United States in 2001 was less informed about 9/11 than the average American sitting at home watching television.
Yeah, and we're talking about a lot of television interruption at that time, too, from New York, that we couldn't even get the whole story immediately because so much was disrupted from an electronics point of view, too. Let me ask you this, Garrett. What was most emotional for you in the telling of these stories?
Yeah, so there were two things that sort of really stood out for me in recreating this day through all of these different voices. The first is just the sheer innocence of America that day. That, you know, we hear today 9/11 changed everything, but we sort of forget what that really meant and what America was like on the morning of Tuesday, September the 11th. And it was a much more innocent country. And so you see that in the opening minutes of the attack, where you have people, you know, in New York just continuing on their morning commutes. You have people staying at their desks in the North Tower and the South Tower even after the first crash. And the idea that, you know, this was terrorism really didn't strike until the second crash at 9:03.
That's exactly
and
right.
And it's this sort of remarkable testament to how different the country was that day. The other thing that just really came through to me in working on this book that I had sort of never known or forgotten over the years was the sensory experience of that day, what 9/11 tasted like, smelled like, sounded like, and to the vivid memories that people in New York and the Pentagon and in Shanksville and all across the country have of, you know, the blue sky what the dust after the collapse of the towers tasted like in your mouth, what the crash scene in Shanksville, Pennsylvania smelled like. I mean, it was just such a powerful experience to realize, you know, just how vivid the memories of that day are for the people who lived it.
And it must have been challenging for you as an author to try to take all of this information from all of these sources and compile it in just one book.
Yes. And you know, I started with a pile of about 2,000 oral histories, some I'd conducted myself, others that I had collected from institutions like the 9/11 Museum, the Pentagon Historian's Office, the Capitol Hill Historian, the Flight 93 National Memorial. And, you know, it took months to weed through that pile and whittle it down to about the 480 voices that I end up using in this book to try to capture what the American experience was like all across the country.
Did you talk to any kids in the book? I mean, who were kids then?
In fact, I think to me, one of the most powerful and interesting chapters of the book is about what I call Generation 9/11, the people, the children and students of that time, and sort of what it meant, what 9/11 meant to them, and how they processed it, sort of refracted through the reactions of the adults around them. You know, that for most kids at that point, they didn't really understand what was happening, but they understood that something quite bad was happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for many of the kids that I actually talked to, 9/11 was the first memory of their lives, which is an incredible thing to sort of think back.
It is.
If that is where your memory begins.
Absolutely true. And why was it important for you to put this down, The Only Plane in the Sky, in an oral history?
As I was saying, I think that for me, what I fear that we will lose in understanding 9/11 is when we tell ourselves that story today, it's a much neater and cleaner story because we know when 9/11 begins, we know when it ends. But we didn't understand that on 9/11. And when you look at, you know, if you are, you know, looking around at the world today, it is the geopolitics, the politics of our country is still very much driven and shaped by the decisions made after 9/11. And to understand why those decisions were made, why people, you know, why we went to a war in Iraq, why we went to war in Afghanistan, you really have to understand the fear and confusion, the trauma of 9/11 for those who experienced it. And you know, we didn't know on 9/11 that there were not more sleeper cells ready to attack again. You know, there was a real fear late into the afternoon that there were more hijacked planes in the sky still waiting to attack the United States. And that this was just sort of a tremendous turning point and hinge in our modern world.
There's certainly no question about that. And I'm wondering what you found to be true for all of these people that you interviewed for the book in terms of what 9/11 was to them on that day and what their lives are like now, having been touched by it.
Yeah, and this, you know, there is probably no one in the book whose life is not still being shaped or was profoundly altered by 9/11. I tell the story in the book of Will Jimeno, a Port Authority police officer who was trapped in the rubble that day, one of only actually two people to survive from underneath the towers.
Wow.
You know, he had a long road back, health-wise, both mentally and physically, and you know, is very forthright about the PTSD that he has struggled with, and tells a very inspirational story today about how, you know, he had 220 stories of the World Trade Center fall atop him, But in each of our own lives, we have our own World Trade Centers, the obstacles and challenges that we don't think we can overcome, and that it's really how you respond as a human that determines your life.
I can't wait to read it. It is called The Only Plane in the Sky, an oral history of 9/11. The author is award-winning Garrett Graff. Garrett, thank you for spending some time with us on this auspicious occasion.
Thank you for having me.
That is Garrett Graff, the author of The Only Plane in the Sky, an oral history of 9/11.